Hello, this is Graham Wilson with our second audio blog about the proceedings of COP22. The first day of COP22 might have been dominated by the exciting news that over 55 countries, that together represented over 55% of greenhouse gas emissions, signed up a little over a month ago to the Paris Agreement from 2015. And so that milestone having been met 30 days later, on November the 4th, the agreement became binding. Perhaps more important still, that had led to a renewed zeal for others to do so, and so up to date over 100 countries have now joined the agreement. Had this tipping point not been reached, the business of COP22 would probably have been very different. So the air of some presentations was definitely celebratory. The incoming president of COP22, Morocco's finance minister, Selahattin Mazour, really made five key points. Firstly, that the choice of Marrakesh as host is symbolic. Africa has a unique combination of challenges in the climate resilience world, and by hosting this conference, it was demonstrating its commitment to tackle these individually and collectively. He highlighted the substantial shift in the public and government perceptions of climate-related change, and how important this momentum was for the future. However, at the same time, he acknowledged that the Paris Agreement itself did not make the goal of a maximum global average temperature rise of 1.5 degrees Celsius a certainty. A lot of hard work and collaboration has to happen to make it a reality. He stressed that successful projects were going to range from small-scale local actions to many that are so large that they cross many international borders. These projects are going to be very different in their nature and need an enormous amount of careful preparation and planning, even at the smaller end of the scale. And finally, he reinforced the impact of new technology, primarily clean technology, and how that was going to have to be made in order to achieve the kind of ambitious targets that have been set. In her opening address, Patricia Espinosa, who's the Executive Secretary of the UNFCCC, acknowledged the celebratory air, but she also reminded the party governments that they were now committed to very high expectations that would be hard to meet. In her words, "Our work here in Marrakesh must reflect our new reality. No politician or citizen, no business manager or investor can doubt that the transformation to a low-emission, resilient society and economy is the singular determination of the community of nations." Her language throughout echoed this. She underlined five major areas for COP22. Finance, especially to allow developing countries to green their economies and build resilience. Although finance is beginning to flow, it's yet to reach the level and have the predictability to bring about low emission and climate resilient development. Secondly, that the intended nationally determined contributions, or INDCs, and their associated national climate action plans now need to be integrated into national policies and investment plans. Thirdly, the support for adaptation has to be given higher priority, and far more progress needs to be made on the loss and damage mechanisms to safeguard gains in the most vulnerable communities. Her fourth point was that capacity building in developing countries has to be far more specific to their needs. And finally, it's essential to fully engage stakeholders who are outside the original parties, because they are going to be central to the transformational change that's necessary. I flagged yesterday that one of the key aspects of this year's COP was going to be finance. Patricia Espinosa unveiled the findings of the Biennial Survey of Climate Finance. In a nutshell, investment is rapidly gaining momentum. Especially in the private sector, we're seeing banks, investors, and pension funds directing their resources towards climate-related work in ways and a scale that have never been seen before. This is good news. Government spending so far is also on target for the expenditures projected for 2020. But this level is tiny compared with the longer-term investments that are necessary. The finance needs also to be stable, and it's far from that so far. Finally, the focus, even of government spending, is far too much on climate mitigation and far too little on climate adaptation and resilience. This is old school investment. It may improve some places, but it leaves other communities in a far worse condition. So overall, a positive tone, but very strong messages from the two key speakers of the hard work that's necessary over the next 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. I hope you found it interesting, and I look forward to your comments in the discussion space on our blog. Good night.